Hi, it's Diane, and it is noon on Tuesday, July 9th. I'm here with the Tuesday Noon Group, and so far, let's see who I see, Lauren, Teresa, Jennifer, and Anne. Did I get everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Yay. Okay, cool. So let's start with celebrations and check-ins. I missed you guys. I want to publicly thank my team for covering for me in June. I had a crazy month with graduations and travel and everything else, and I missed you guys, but I'm glad to be back here. And so let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who's going? Okay, Lauren, you're kind of quiet. I don't know if you got us on speaker.
I did. Is that better?
Here we go. Much better. Thanks,
okay.
Lauren.
You're welcome. So I was going to celebrate that I finally feel like I'm starting to understand my son better. And I feel like it's a huge celebration. Not as much, I guess, I'm starting to understand him better with the ADHD, too. But just his personality, he's more introverted, and I'm starting to realize how much, like, he's fine to be around people, but how much it drains him. And we have two exchange students here for a few weeks, and more guests coming tomorrow. So I think it's been a lot for all of us, but especially for him, and instead of getting frustrated with him, as I might have done in the past, I feel like I understand him, so I'm thankful for
awesome.
That.
That's amazing, Lauren, and it's so hard, it's so funny because we naturally think that our kids are like us, and they just aren't, and it's kind of fun to kind of go, oh, wait, it bugs you when that happens? It's good to know, and completely identify, I've got one introvert, one extrovert, and I have to be really aware of, how I dance around each one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never really realized that was because he is okay around people. I mean, he's socially okay, but it just sucks everything out of him. So we've had a few really good conversations about it, and I feel like, I'm just thankful that we've had those conversations, and I feel like he feels understood or better understood, and I feel like I understand him better.
Awesome. I think introversion and extroversion, I don't know if we've got an article on this site about it. I might want to write one. But it's really pretty misunderstood because I'm a really social person, but I'm very introverted. And you would never guess Elaine's an introvert, but she has that same sort of gets drained when she's around people too much. And so I think that there's a lot of great information out there, and it's fun to just explore and see. And I bet it was fun for you, Lauren, to not be just thinking about the ADHD stuff, but to be able to kind of just look more generically at his personality as well.
Yes, it was.
Cool. All right, who's next?
Okay, well, this is Teresa. And so we just got back from a vacation to Colorado and back, where we literally, it was my husband, me, and my daughter, and we drove 20 hours there and 20 hours back, and then literally spent the whole week together sleeping in the same room in a hotel. And overall, it went extremely well. I mean, in terms of, letting her have her space when she needed her space, her being engaged and involved in our life. It's so refreshing sometimes, even though she still had her phone and some connection to her friends. I felt like she was part of the family and enjoyed being part of the family. And so overall, it was a really good bonding experience where I feel like we listened to each other better and enjoyed being around each other. It was great.
How fun. That's awesome, Teresa. Congratulations. Who else?
This is Anne.
Hey, Anne.
And, I guess we've just kind of had a relaxing summer. And I think the thing that I'm processing, celebrating, is very much like Lauren, in that I feel like we've had some you know, really good conversations to understand each other a lot better. And particularly the way that I have started asking questions that don't come off as so judgmental. And when I do that, I get such a better response. And instead of, you know, giving the list, you know, of things that have to happen in a day, it's the list is turned over to him and he decides in what order he's going to do the list and when he's going to do the list. And he's just, you know, taken more responsibility for things and communicating better when he's frustrated and can I do this tomorrow instead of today? And it's just been a great summer.
That's so cool. And there's enough pressure off that you don't feel the part of you that gets panicky when stuff that doesn't get done right away chips.
Exactly. It's like, you know what? It's okay because we're communicating. We're, you know, he's telling me where he's at and, you know, we're negotiating. That's not the right word. We're compromising. We're, you know, he has
collaborating.
His space and yeah, collaborating. He's getting done what needs to be done and I'm not judgmental about it. It's
love
a much better
that.
Place to be in.
It is. Solid place to be in. And there's going to be moments where you know, it's like we talk a lot about the four roles of parenting. It's like you're solidly in level three and maybe sometimes level four. And there's going to be times that it's, you know, I think it's the opportunity is to look at how do you apply some of what you're learning this summer when the stakes get a little higher during the school year. Does that resonate?
Oh, you know, absolutely. He's about to leave for 3 weeks to go spend 3 weeks with his dad. And, you know, it's a big deal for him and it's really good for me. And I'm already building up the anxiety for when he returns. And I'm just trying so hard to say, you know what? I've got this. You know, I've been practicing this all summer and we're going to do this and it's going to be okay. And so.
Love that. Love that. Cool. Okay. So who's left? Jennifer.
It's Jennifer. I can go.
Thanks.
I think, I don't know, with my son and us, I mean, we've just been having different kinds of conversations about life and how things were when we were little and why I kind of do some of the things that I do, I guess, like overprotective stuff. And, you know, even get the, wow, you did that? That's cool, Mom. You know, and as something as simple as, you know, jumping on my bike at, you know, 10 in the morning and not coming home until 5, which, you know, he doesn't have the liberty to do that. But I think that's more, unfortunately, the times we live in. But just, you know, but he didn't, you know, think, well, gosh, you know, I can do that or I want to do that. I think he sort of has gotten a little understanding as to why we've prevented him from doing things or, in his mind, prevented him from doing things or growing up, as he called it. So, I mean, it's been good conversations, and he has said, you know, thank you for being so supportive of me in school, and that, you know, when I used to be embarrassed that you would charge in, he goes, I really saw that. Saw things that I didn't see. So to speak, I guess.
So it made you differently human because you went through some of the same stuff he's going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that tool. So the tool you're using is transparency, which is you're sharing your own experiences with him in a different way than you have before. And I love that tool because it, especially as they get older, in fact, I just did this morning with my daughter where I told a relatively personal story, and it was a sort of, she could identify, she's, you know, an emerging adult like yours is, Jen. She's like going to be off to college, and it's the more we can kind of tell our own stories and talk about our own experience, it can normalize, it can connect. I mean, there's all this power in what you're doing, so congratulations for that.
Thanks.
Cool. Awesome. All right, so that's everybody that's, did I miss anybody? One, two, three, four. No. Okay, great. So let's loop back around and take aim. Lauren, you want to start us on where you want to take aim this week?
Sure. I would like to take aim on being present because I feel like I am out of my comfort zone with all these people and all these different personalities, and I can tend to be a little bit overwhelmed by that. And I would like to just kind of be present so that I can decide how I want to handle things and enjoy different situations. And I just want to be present. So that's what I'm, my aim for this.
Well, and I love that. And I'm going to, if you'll let me, I'll spin it a little bit. Is that okay?
Yes, of course.
So being present is actually a tool in your toolbox, right? And what you're really looking for is a tool to help you manage your overwhelm. And so you're taking aim on overwhelm, but we always want to take aim on what we want and what we don't want instead of what we don't want. So instead of feeling overwhelmed, is present what you want to feel, or is it something else that you'll feel because you're present?
I would love to feel peaceful in the midst of, like, whatever's going on around me.
Okay. So you're going to take aim on feeling more peaceful when you've got a house full this coming week. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, that's my goal in general, too. But, yes,
that's your goal.
Especially,
yeah.
Like, there's especially a lot this week going on.
Okay, cool. And being present is absolutely a powerful tool that you can use. I just am kind of framing it this way because there may be something else you stumble into that might be a good tool for you as well as we have a conversation today. Is that a good challenge for you?
Sure. So my taking aim is being peaceful?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or
okay,
peaceful and present, whatever. I mean, that's what I was trying to figure out, whether present was the end point or whether present was the tool. It sounds like it's a little bit of both for you.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I just don't want to be thinking, like, about a million other things when I'm, because my daughter's also going away for soccer this week. Like, there's just a lot of things going on all this week. Mm-hmm. So I just don't want to be someplace else all the time. So I do want to be present, but I also do want to be peaceful.
Okay. Well, so maybe let's stay with being present, or if you want to add peaceful to it, that can work too. Cool.
Okay. Peaceful and
Teresa, what about peaceful and present. Okay.
Yeah.
Teresa, what about you?
Well, I would like to take aim on you feel like you're, like, relearning all these lessons over and over, but remaining curious so that I don't jump to conclusions or assume I know what she's thinking and feeling, which just happened in a conversation this morning, and it basically, you know, here you are trying to listen to your child, your 17-year-old, and I make these diagnoses sort of, and essentially tell her what she's thinking, and it was just. And so I think if I think about what I want in that situation, it's to it probably even has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. It's that paradigm shift. It's just maybe looking at it from her perspective instead of my perspective, but certainly remaining curious and not jumping to conclusions or making judgments about what is motivating her.
Yeah. So, Teresa, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So what is it about jumping to conclusions? Because it's like a lot of times when we go to that shortcut, there's value in it. It's helping us somehow. So what's your hook for why, you know, when you get curious about yourself for a second, why do you think you jumped to the conclusions you have been?
Well, that's a good question. Well, because there's a tendency always to assume the worst instead of the best. You know, it reminds me of where you have to sit and think more and more about the positives and even keep a list of them and the successes and the things she does right. I've been trying really hard to, avoid nagging, noticing good things, you know, those old ratios, they always tell you, more good than bad. But then ultimately at certain points, you have to sit down and have what you hope is a guiding, coaching, influencing conversation. And I seem to keep failing at having her feel judged instead of being a safe space for her.
Hang on a second. I'm going to interrupt you because you've brought up a couple other things that might be good places to take aim. And I'm not, I think I love the tool of curiosity. And I'm going to say kind of the same thing I did to Lauren, which is, Let's consider solving a problem rather than focusing on using a tool, because I think it'll help you to. It may be that you use the tool, but it'll help you if you're really clear on why the tool is helping you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the problem I want to solve is in my conversations with her, having her feel judged.
Mm. Got it. So you notice that she's responding as if you're judging her and you want to change that dynamic.
Yes, as if I think she's a bad person. And I always try to use the phrases, I'm talking about the behavior, I'm not talking about you, I've raised you since you were a baby, you have a beautiful heart, I know you want all the right things. But she even said to me, it's hard for me to believe you when you say that, when you make me feel like I'm judged. I feel like I'm being judged and like you think I'm a bad person.
Okay.
So cool. Whatever I'm
doing. All
right.
Doing, so how does that feel? Is it okay to dance with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Mhm.
Okay. Good. And where do you want to take aim?
Well, the fact that my son will be gone for 3 weeks, I think self-care is very high. I'm not sure because, I had 3 weeks and sometimes it feels overwhelming when he's not here and I need to kind of be present to take care of myself. I'm looking at maybe going somewhere for a week by myself but then I have all these things that, while he's gone, I can get all this stuff done and I can be so productive.
So hang on a second. So it sounds like you're in that space where it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for the next 3 weeks? And you kind of got you're a little spinny about it. Is that fair?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So what if you took aim? I'm gonna make a suggestion if that's okay. What if you took aim on setting your intentions for the next 3 weeks and just start with that rather than the plan or any one individual thing? Or self-care might be part of it, but I guess it feels like if you're spinning over what all to do while he's gone, maybe taking a step back and saying, how do I want to feel when he comes back? Or what do I want to be able to say about the time while he was gone? That sort of thing. Does that make sense?
How do I want to feel when he comes home?
Or what do you want to be able to say that you've accomplished? You know, what is your intention for the time while he's gone? I want to feel relaxed. I want to feel like I've gotten several things off my list. I want to feel like I've gotten back into some self-care habits. I mean, kind of more that broad brush sort of thing. It sounds like
might
be where to start. Is that fair?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. And Jennifer, where do you want to take aim?
I think working more in keeping the conversation up with my son, both with for my husband and I to do it. Just because I think he feels less stressed if, I don't know if it's, if he knows more of why we do things that he thinks are overprotective, or I guess that he just feels like, oh, now I'm in on the secret, so to speak. It's enjoyable to be around. And he even said, you know, Mom, it's not that bad talking to you. He goes, I like it. I learn new things.
So Jen, I'm not really sure I understand. You can see the value in having these open conversations. So is it, do you want to continue to take aim on keeping the conversations open and figuring out how to bring the rest of the family in? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Because it's like my husband says, well, gosh, he doesn't talk to me that way. And it's like, well. So, yeah, I guess just keeping the conversations going and helping, you know, bring my husband into it more.
Okay. Awesome. Love that. Cool. So we are on page, somebody tell me, 60 of the workbook. 60. We're talking about choosing perspectives. And this is something we do all the time, but I love that we're teaching this lesson because it makes it explicit. And every day, I love this. This is every moment, every day you're making choices. You're making a choice about how to interpret the situation in front of you. And those of us, particularly because we're working with older kids, a lot of times we bump into situations where we see the situation completely differently than they do. Or that there really is more than one way to look at a situation, and we get stuck. And so this idea of choosing perspectives is one we use in coaching so much, because it's really just about figuring out, if I look at it differently, what changes. And the example we always give on this one is naughty versus neurological. We teach this in Sandy School. We teach it in everything. And naughty versus neurological is really asking the question, is this challenge that I'm seeing in my child a naughty thing, or is it a neurological thing? And the exercise you go through is not about saying, well, sometimes it's a little bit of this and it's a little bit of that, and sometimes it's kind of in the middle. The exercise is really to say, if I saw this as completely neurological, if I just assume for the moment, change my perspective, and I'm going to choose the perspective that this behavior is completely caused by something going on neurological for my kid, what then changes in me because I see it differently? And I heard a couple of you talking about seeing things from your kiddo's perspective. And so it's not necessarily that our kid's perspective is right and our perspective is wrong, but it's about changing your perspective and looking at it from a different angle, so that maybe you can find a collaboration, or maybe you can, you know, change your action. Because when we talk about everything, we say, you know, you can only act from where you're thinking, right? So if I think this is true, the example they give here in the workbook is, if I assume that my kid is being disrespectful, my reaction is going to be punish or fight back or judge myself, or, you know, it's just sort of, I've got a disrespectful kid, I must stink as a mom. Or my kid can't treat me like this, and so I'm going to tell, you know, I'm going to put my foot down. Or whatever it is my reaction, because my thought is, my son is being disrespectful. If I change it to, my kid is really having a hard time following through on what I'm asking him to do, I'm going to approach the situation completely differently. if you see it from your child's, if you can say, wow, my kid really doesn't want to get off the computer right now because he's really enjoying time with his friends, as opposed to my kid doesn't listen to me and never gets off the computer when I ask him to, you might say, well, gee, how do I help? You know, I might say something like, hey, why don't you make some plans with your friends to play tomorrow? It looks like we'll have an extra hour that you can spend with them. You know, it's this sort of, if you look at it from a different perspective, whether it's their perspective or a completely different perspective, it really opens up the possibility of action. So the questions you want to ask is, how else could I look at this? What else might be going on? What else might be true? But it's just a way of kind of opening things up. So I'm curious what comes up for you guys, either in terms of, you know, places that you've used this shift in perspective effectively, or places that it's hard and you feel like you're stuck and maybe you need a new perspective. What comes up for you guys?
This is Anne, and I have started using a lot more words to help my son process some of those emotions. So, for example, yesterday I said, you need to talk to your dad and confirm your meeting time and blah, blah, blah. And he just, you could see he didn't want to do it, the procrastination, I don't want to do this. And I just said, hey, are you feeling a little annoyed? Are you feeling, you know, tell me how you're feeling. And, you know, I just am trying to use more emotion at those moments and help him. You know, he said, well, it's boring talking to my dad. I said, well, I understand it does not have to be a long conversation, but can you confirm these three things? And so by, you know, kind of helping him process those emotions, why is he not wanting to call? He immediately, after that conversation, I said, you know, give yourself a little bit of time and then call him when you feel like it's the right time. And he did. Within an hour, he called his dad. He talked to him about those three things. He was happy to hear from his dad. He was excited, you know. So for me, that perspective is helping my child understand the perspective or the emotion behind it.
Okay, and I love that. Because you're sharing a different perspective. You're sharing your understanding of his perspective, and it's helping shift the action. And I want to give you a challenge, Anne. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Because what I heard is that it's this sort of, you understood that he shared with you that he was bored, and so you gave him the solution to the boredom. Is that fair? If it's boring,
yes,
then why don't you wait and then do this and do that, right? So that's that level one response, which is, okay, I understand where you're coming from, and so I'll tell you what to do to solve your problem. Level two might be, what are some ideas you have about how you can fix it, since it's such a boring thing to make this phone call? Does that make sense as a distinction?
Yes.
What changes if you give him a little bit more independence?
I really do try to give him a lot of independence. I feel like there's a lot of things, and then there's some things that have to be pushed, you know, just.
No, and I guess I'm just, let's just play with this one situation, and just the language, I want you to feel like I'm picking on you, because I think you handled it really well. I think I'm just kind of trying to say, what's the next level of independence here? So does it make sense?
Yes. Absolutely. And I guess my processing is, in that particular situation, I'm not sure. You know, normally his dad would call him, and I don't know why his dad didn't call him. My son doesn't really ever initiate the calls. And so I feel like maybe he's not at that level to initiate calls yet. Maybe he hasn't you know, I felt very proud that he initiated that call.
Yeah, yeah, and so in that moment, you felt like he was really stretching as far as he could, and stretching further might have been a difficult thing. Is that what you're saying?
I do, for that particular situation. So, you know, there's some other things that I do give him a little more independence. You know, particularly, I know what you're saying, and I need to kind of think about that.
Well, and it's hard, right?
Proud
because
of
this
him
is
for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that thing. It's like when they take a step, it's this sort of, we want to reward them. And if what, you know, and there's a dance here, right? As parents, it's this sort of, how do we put the ball in as much in their court as much as we can without overloading them? And you're there in the
right
moment, and you know what it is. I think that's the question, is to just, you know, as our kids get older, focusing on the post-it note I see on my desk is ask, don't tell, right? So it's this sort of, anytime you have a dialogue with your kiddo, where do you ask questions instead of making suggestions or directing, those
right
sorts of things? Yeah.
Right, right, right. No, that's a good sticky note.
Other thoughts from folks about this idea of changing perspectives or choosing perspectives?
This is Lauren. I was going to say, one thing that came up for me is that I never really realized that people, I mean, I did as I got older, but that people have, like, I assumed that everybody thought about things not exactly the way that I do, but for example, we were at dinner the other night, and there was a man behind us that was sitting by himself, and I said in the past, like, I would have felt like I would have wanted to invite him to sit with us so that he wouldn't have to sit by himself, thinking that, like, nobody would actually want to eat by themselves, that he just didn't have any other options, so that he was there sitting by himself. And my son was like, I would hate it if somebody asked me to sit with them, and not that I would. The thought would have crossed my mind, like, oh, like, maybe he would want to join us. My son said, I would be so mortified, and that would be the last thing that I would ever want to do. And I thought, like, I had just never, it's just a silly example, but to show that, like, I don't know if I'm getting my point across very well.
No, you are. I think that makes it that different people see it differently, right? And so who knows, that guy might have been like, oh, my gosh, this is the first free moment I've had all by myself in months. I've been completely locked in a conference room, and I'm so glad to just be here by myself and relax and eat my dinner alone. You know, it's awesome.
It was just, it just made me realize how much everybody brings their own perspective to pretty much every situation, unless you intentionally try to see it from the other person's, which I do try to see that. But I don't know. I just thought it was really an interesting little interchange.
Well, and it would be really interesting. I think this happens a lot in relationship, is that if we're in conflict, a lot of times it's because we're making an assumption about how the other person sees it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if you can kind of step back and just even check, which is what, you know, what your son's response enabled you to do, is to check and see, you know, is there another possible perspective in looking at this situation?
I agree.
Well, and I'm wondering, so the other side of it is, how do you help him? Because it was very clear, he's like, I would have been mortified, right? It's just sort of, how do you help him to see that maybe the guy wouldn't have been mortified? Maybe the guy would have been really,
right, happy,
you know, happy to hear. It's just sort of, it sounds like you have the opportunity then to share the alternative perspective with your kid and say, well, isn't it really interesting? We have no idea how this guy would respond.
Mm-hmm.
He might be really lonely, or he might be really glad to be alone. How do we handle it? And that's a great, you know, one of those teaching moments to kind of help our kids to see that different perspectives are possible as well.
Well, I think he got that when I was like, I mean, that was my perspective, that he wouldn't want to be eating alone.
Yeah.
That the man wouldn't want to be eating alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought it was, and helping him to see, I mean, from my son's perspective, he probably never thought, like you were just saying, like, oh, maybe he would want to eat with somebody else. And that's, again, just a little example, but I think you can apply it to so many different situations.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering how the perspective shift could help you with your area of taking aim over these next couple of weeks with the busy household.
Well, my perspective shift was what helped me see it, because I used to just think my son was being rude or inconsiderate, but so that really helped me a lot with him, like seeing that he just needs downtime to be, like that's what he needs. So that was really helpful. And then I think just realizing, excuse me, that everybody's trying to do their best is helpful for me, like no matter what your personality, because one of the exchange students is really, really shy, like hardly ever talks. And then we've got her brother is super outgoing. So he always wants to be doing things, which completely wears my son out. So just realizing that everybody is just trying to do their best. Nobody's intentionally trying to, like, you know, be rude or drive anybody else crazy or anything like that, would be helpful for me.
So assuming best intention, another post-it note on my desk, thank you for that reminder, is the perspective shift, right? So if you look at the situation and you say everybody does the best they can at the level of consciousness they have or, you know, in the moment, it enables you to see that he's not just resisting, he's doing what he can.
Well, we talk about it too, though, now, instead of it just, like I say, like, do you need some Jacob time? And, you know, it helps it to kind of be like, yeah, it just helps to, instead of it just being like this thing out there that he's just frustrated or needing his own time, like, I want him to see, yes, I'm frustrated or I'm feeling overwhelmed or whatever, and I just need a little bit of time to myself.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So other comments from folks on this idea of shifting perspectives, or we could go into some laser coaching on some of the areas you're focusing in on.
Well, this is Teresa. I'm thinking about the shifting or choosing perspectives in relation to Jacqueline's concerns toward me of you make me feel judged. And I guess it gets back to when I think I make her feel judged when I kind of jump to conclusions and especially don't assume the best. And, you know, we had a recent conversation, I think I brought it up in this group before, that it's been really bothering me that at her age and stage of life, I feel like she can be deceptive, and I like that word better. It sounds less horrible than lying, but it's a big concern because when you're getting close to, here you are facing your senior year, your car keys, et cetera, you know, you like to know that your child is going to be as honest and transparent with you. So that whole idea of choosing perspectives has helped me, because I think we talked about lying before now, and I was able to have a conversation with her one time, like, tell me why you didn't feel like you could just be honest with me and just tell me the truth. And it was really exactly, you know, what you all kind of remind us of, that they get so tired of you know, always being in trouble, and they don't want us to feel to think badly of them. And what she actually came up with too was that I find that I just answer quickly sometimes, and then I feel bad about coming back and saying, "Oh, I answered too quickly," and then I don't feel like I can go back. So, so again, and that gets back to your naughty versus neurological too. So, really, really, you know, trying to get to the point where we can have conversations like this about, you know, about the lying and deception, where she cannot feel judged, and where I can look better at what her perception of me, of why she can't, you know, I feel sad that I'm not, that I can't get to the point where I can be a safe space and where she knows that.
Hang on a second, because you're getting a couple of things wrapped on top of each other. So one is this whole sort of, how do you help her feel like she can be more honest, which is what you're really trying to work with her on, is this, and now that she's kind of shared with you why it's hard for her to be honest. But the other piece of it is the fact that she's feeling judged. And I want to really challenge you to partner with her on that. Now that you know that she feels judged, to say, okay, so the last thing I want is for you to feel judged. I want a commitment from you to continue to work on some of the things that we both find are challenges. So, you know, is there a code word that you use? Or do you let me know when I'm using language that feels judgy? It's this sort of, what would collaboration with her look like to try to focus on the judgment rather than you trying to figure out what you need to do differently? Does that make sense? Because I think this is a problem you can solve together rather than a problem for you to solve.
That sounds like a great, great point.
One of the things that I'm thinking about is that your thought about what judgment looks like and hers might be different. You got a perspective difference. Mm-hmm. And if she could say, well, I feel like you're judging me. You could change 20 things. But may not change the one thing that makes her feel judged. That may have, you have no clue, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So what do you do with that?
Yeah. No, this is a great point because, you know, in fact, we were recently talking about, because she accuses me of judging people all the time. And so we happened to listen to this great podcast recently, you know, straight kind of out of the Bible, about even in one paragraph, you know, what's like, so it goes back to your question of what does judgment look like to you and what does judgment look like to her? And we were able to kind of tease apart that nobody can really judge anybody's heart. Nobody knows what really motivates somebody. Nobody, you know, even you might not always know it sometimes, but only God knows that. You know, we can't really make a judgment on that. But what we can do and what we have to do in life is judge behaviors and, you know, not, you know, in a healthy way, of course. Like as a parent, you know, of course you're going to try to teach your kid right from wrong, or, you know, if you make these choices, they'll lead to these outcomes. And if you make these choices, then you might find yourself, you know, in trouble and things like that. And so it comes up a lot with regard to her friends, because as we've gone from 9th to 10th to 11th and 12th grade, I mean, some of the people that were really good, close friends are starting to make poor choices. And so she's always accusing me of judging her friends and things like that. So I guess to get to that idea of what judgment looks like to her and what it looks like to me, and to, I like that idea of a code word, like let's come up with something, you know, stop me when you feel like you're being judged, so that we can understand it better. And, you know, because I don't want her to feel judged. I don't. I want her to feel comfortable making mistakes so that we can talk about how to avoid them and how to redirect them. And anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. So how clear are you on your next step there?
Well, I think, for example, this attentious, contentious conversation happened this morning, and it ended fairly well, but it was a little contentious. And so I think later as the, well, maybe even tomorrow, because one of the things I've realized in terms of triggers is like late at night or, you know, evening when everybody's tired are not a good idea. But I think I want to come back to her with regard to the conversation this morning and say, I've been really thinking about what you said about being judged. And I want to, just what you said, I want to work together with you on that. And I want to help. I want us to both think and reflect about what we even mean by judgment so that we can even be speaking the same language. And, you know, can we agree to work with each other on that? Can we agree to make that better? She actually knows, like, she knows now that I'm quote unquote in these classes, because, like, especially in the summer when she's not at school, right? Oh, I have my kind of online, you know, class. And I said, I even told her this morning, honey, I make mistakes too. I'm trying to be a better parent. I'm trying to understand what my mistakes are in listening to you and understanding you so that I can be a better parent. So, so she knows I'm in these little classes. So it's a perfect entree for, I want to work with you on the whole judgment piece. Cause I don't want you to feel judged. So we need to.
I love that, Teresa.
Collaborate and define. Yeah.
Cool. So, we've got a few minutes. Is there anyone else who could use some laser coaching on a particular area? I'm happy to go that direction before we do our wrap up.
Diane, I have a question.
Okay,
this
Anne.
Is Anne. Are you familiar with Brendan Mahan's The Wall of Awful?
A little bit. I know Brendan, and I've kind of seen some of his stuff. What's your question?
Well, my son and I watched a video of that a couple of months ago, and it really resonated with that resistance and how when, you know, something has to be done and the resistance, and then we've learned to talk about the emotions. That's where a lot of the emotions we talk about and how you feel. My question is, kind of like you were saying, getting from level one to level two, giving more independence. So with that resistance that my son hits, that wall of awful, I'm kind of processing where are we at level one, level two? How do I get him? That wall of awful.
Yeah. So the reality is, let's shortcut it and tie it back to the stuff that we teach, which is when they hit that wall of awful, they've been triggered, right? And so they shut down and they're no longer problem solving, right? And so we think about the three parts of the brain. The frontal lobe is where the problem solving lives. The habits and emotions are in the center, and then the amygdala is the bottom. And my instinct is that when people hit the wall of awful, they go back to the midbrain or they go to the fight or flight, depending on kind of how hard they hit the wall. Is that resonating with what you've seen?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So job number one is helping to get calm. It's not about getting it done. It's about getting it calm. And so the question, if you want to move to level two or level three, it looks like you really hit the wall. What do you want to, you know, is there something that you can do? Can I help? And I was just talking to my daughter about this. There's part of this conversation that happens in the middle of the, when he's hit the wall, and there's part of the conversation that has to happen beforehand. So it's this sort of, okay, he's not at the wall right now, but it's like, so when you hit the wall, what should I do? Should I give you 30 minutes to calm down? Should I comment that I think you've hit the wall? You know, it's this sort of collaboration that you're agreeing to what happens when he hits the wall so that you then can get him back into problem solving. Because when he's in problem solving, then you deal with the three levels. Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, that, it makes sense, but I guess in my mind I'm trying to figure out how to give more independence for that process or that thinking. That sometimes
well, so
we go back to level one.
Right. Well, and I think that's what a lot of us do is that when our kids hit the wall, we go to level one. It's like, well, they're triggered, and so I'm going to take over. And if you agree with him, you know, if you had a conversation with him today about what to do, what to try, and I want to use that word very specifically, what to try the next time you notice that he hits the wall.
Okay,
does he need space? Does he need, you know, it's that sort of, you're collaborating with him to come up with tools that the two of you guys might use together when you notice that he's hit the wall.
Okay. But that conversation takes place after.
Exactly, because when he hit the wall, I mean, this is so to shortcut the conversation with my daughter, she got triggered, and I wanted her to make a commitment to coming back and finishing the conversation, but she was so triggered that she couldn't even say, Mom, I'll talk to you in 30 minutes. I need time. And so the deal we have to make is when she's not triggered, what do I do when you're triggered and you're so triggered that you can't even say, I can finish this conversation? You know, and so that's the conversation you have when you're not triggered.
Not, okay.
In the middle of it, it's like, what do we want to try? Because it may not work, and you're coming up with ideas of how to handle it.
Okay, and that's where then they move from the level one to the level two.
Well, let me back up for a second. Are you trying to figure out how to help him manage his wall more independently?
Yes.
So then that's the thing. So it's the conversation about level two would be, so what are some things you could try when you hit the wall?
Next time, right.
Next time.
So
right.
That's where we're at.
Exactly.
We're still on level one. Yeah. We're still on level one, just recognizing it and putting the emotions, the feelings to it, naming the.
Yeah. And you're telling
what
him what to do. It's this sort of,
right.
Until you hit the wall, why don't you go to your room and calm down? That's a level one answer.
Exactly.
I can tell
yes.
you hit the wall, you know, and it may be that his, what he needs when he hits the wall is level one, but you want to agree to that ahead of time. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Okay. That
cool.
Helps a lot. Thank you.
Awesome. Did we confuse everybody or is everybody good? I just want to pause before we go.
Oh, that's good. That's good. For me, that's good.
Okay. Cool.
Diane, I'm sorry to jump in real quick, but I need to go and pick up kids from the pool. So,
okay. So will you want to do your wrap up real quick before you hang up, Lauren?
Yes, I am going
okay.
to work on being present and peaceful this week. And I appreciate the reminders about perspective because I think it's very helpful in lots of ways.
Cool. All right. So we're going to do our wrap-up questions, and we're on page 60.
Thank you. I'm going to jump off.
Okay. 61. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take, and how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a few notes and jot down your commitments, and then I would love to hear from each one of you what you're going to focus on, what at least one aha and one action item. Who wants to share first?
This is Jennifer.
Oh, well,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jennifer. That's perfect.
Oh, I had a note on my note page from others and could have said this before, and I'm sorry if I'm just rehashing it. It just, the note says we're all retraining our brains and need to acknowledge our feelings more out loud. And I think that's still so true, especially with my son, and he's got a hard time. If you say, well, my perspective is this, or you look at the other perspective, he got told that in high school so many times that he didn't want to hear, look at other perspectives. He saw that only as a negative. So I think it's just, you know, need to more acknowledge how he's feeling about things and take aim on how he's going to react or better way to react on something going on.
Great. So it's about helping him to articulate what he might need in those moments. Is that fair?
Right. Right.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. Who else?
Okay, this is Teresa, and I think my aha was just the big reminder about the collaborative piece, especially, you know, given where my daughter is at her age and stage of life. It's natural, of course, and I want to move her along on the independent. So it's that the aha is the collaboration, and the action item is to follow through on the issue we talked about earlier of collaborating with her specifically in the area of feeling judged and working together with her to understand that better and come up with a way that we can look at each other's perspective and make sure we're talking from the same songbook and then try to listen well and avoid what makes her uncomfortable, but still move her along in making good choices and growing in her independence.
Love that. And again, is this sort of know that there's going to be times she wants to collaborate and times she doesn't, and you want
good point.
you want the collaboration to be on her terms. Okay.
That's the big thing.
When can we talk?
Okay.
Are you willing to talk?
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Okay. That's very good. Okay. Collaborate on her. I see what you mean by that. You mean, yeah, it's kind of with the situation you were sharing with your daughter. So when can we talk and let
yeah.
it let
ask,
her be really
ask,
ready?
Don't tell.
Okay. Okay. All right. I like cool. that. And you do and, that so well with us, by the way. I notice all of these same strategies being well modeled. So thank you.
Well, thank you. They are coaching tools after all, right? Cool. At least it works. That's awesome. Anne, I think you're last. Yes?
Yes. So I came into the conversation just not really being clear what I wanted to do for the week or the next couple of weeks, but I have decided I'm going to not worry about what I'm going to do while my son is gone. And instead, I am going to focus on the ask, don't tell process this week before he leaves, because we will have lots of things each day to do to get ready to go. And it's going to be the ask, don't tell. It's going to be trying to understand the triggers and trying to understand just how to help him process, how to help him calm, and then let him figure out the tools or the list, the next steps, and just give him more independence, a little more responsibility for preparing himself to get ready to go. And I mean, it's not, should not be a big deal. There shouldn't be any arguments or fights or, you know, discussions. He should be excited and I should be excited for him. And it's just helping him get from kind of that level one to level two. Ask, don't tell.
Awesome. Love that. All right. Great call, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. There is a Lifeline call, office hours call next week. And then we are back in PSS the week of July 22nd. We'll be talking about transparency. We talked about it today, so we'll talk about it again. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank,
thank you.
You. Have a great week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.